Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Squarespace at squarespace.com. You've been sitting around thinking, I need to make a website all about the things in World of Warcraft I love the most. Why not go to squarespace.com right now and use the code INSTANCE at checkout? That's INSTANCE at checkout for 10% off your account at squarespace.com. Today on The Instance, it's our big Legion pre-launch special. We take a long, loving, hard look at what you can expect to hit as early as this coming Tuesday. Oh, and all kinds of stuff happened in other Blizzard games. We'll get to that as well on this episode of The Instance.
The World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. This is The Instance.
That's a bit of a throwback, isn't it? I figured it was appropriate given what we're going to talk about today.
So wait, what's this intro? The guy sounds a lot more angry than usual.
Yeah, it's an old, it's our old Kata intro, and we haven't played it in a long time, partially because we changed expansions, but also because we talk about so much more than WoW now. But today is so Legion-centric that it just felt appropriate to have Scott Fletcher yell, "World of Warcraft, the whole thing."
Is that Scott Fletcher?
It is.
I didn't recognize him.
That's him and all. He does all those. Yeah, he's a furious man. Once in a while, I can get him really worked up, and it's a good time. It's myself, Scott Johnson, and Patrick Beja. Hello, Patrick. What's going on?
Hey, so, Scott,
yeah.
Let me tell you, I have a problem.
Uh-oh. Crap.
You know that game, World of Warcraft?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
I can't stop playing it. I'm...
Is it 2008 in here? What's going on?
I don't know. It's like, it's more, a year and a half ago when Draenor launched.
Mm-hmm.
So I was inspired by our good friend, Willie Dills, who will be joining us mid-show, if I understand correctly.
Yes.
So a couple of weeks ago for the last episode, we started talking about how he went back in and he was doing his legendary quest and the flying thing. And I was like, oh, yeah, I should go and do that, you know, try to get the legendary quest. And I started back up just a little bit doing the garrison missions. And then I was like, oh, wait, but then for the legendary thing, I need stuff from the buildings, like the profession stuff. And I started building out the buildings. And then I was like, oh, but I can do the pet stuff too. It's no big deal. And then the flying and then the thing. And I will tell you, I'm playing, I'm not going to commit, but multiple hours a day of World of Warcraft. And the most surprising thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what the most surprising thing is?
Let me guess. Hold on. The most surprising thing is that you're having more fun than you've ever had. No?
Well, maybe not than I've ever had.
All right.
But I'm definitely having a lot of fun. And I think the garrisons and the expansion in general, it's been so long since there's been new content. It's gotten sort of a pretty bad rap, which is understandable. And definitely, you know, the 9 months or however long it's been since the last patch came out are way too long. Like if I had been playing in that rhythm for all that time, I would be bored out of my skull.
Yeah.
However, there's, you know, a few weeks worth of really fun content. So to do the flying achievement, you need to explore the entirety of the world. You need to finish all of the major quest lines. There's a bunch of stuff you need to do. And I've been doing all of them first to get the achievement. And then I just started, you know, doing them because it was fun. The stories are fun. Looking at the world, there are some really crazy things in the world that you come across you didn't, you know, realize that you had.
Yeah.
The garrisons, I didn't realize, but a lot of it I hadn't done. My garrison was like stopped halfway through. Now I have like pets walking around all over. It's like I've been doing some invasion quests. It's like it's the perfect way to get back into the game seriously before Legion comes out.
Yeah.
And I'm super glad I went back in.
Well, and today we're going to talk a ton about not just Legion, but also mostly we're going to focus on the pre-patch, the stuff that's happening probably Tuesday. All signs point to Tuesday, as best we can tell. And we want to talk about what that means, what's going to change Tuesday. I've been getting a lot of communication from fans via Twitter and email mainly saying, Scott, are you worried about Hunters? Scott, what's it going to be like on Tuesday? What am I going to do? Like, there's some nervousness from the community, and I'm not exactly sure why. I'm feeling nothing but excitement at this point. And I don't want to speak for everyone, but I'm getting a little bit of feedback like that. Like, people aren't exactly sure what to expect. So we're going to help you know what to expect a little bit here. And that should be fun. I got to give Patrick a ton of credit, because part of his diving back in such a hardcore way, was driven by, well, I need to get up to speed so we can talk about what's coming with Legion. And blah, blah, blah. And then instead it roped you in and snared you into its unholy grasp, which is what WoW does tend to do on a cyclical basis for us, at least once to two times every couple of years. So anyway, I'm excited to hear more about what you've experienced. I'm excited to hear about what we can expect on Tuesday, and more importantly, what we think it means for Legion and the next couple of years of content. Let's dive into that now. All right, let's start it off with, and we'll call this our primer. It's our pre-launch primer. Background downloads are already happening, right? Everybody's starting to get background downloads. You should have by now, I assume.
Yeah, if you haven't, you have there's a problem. There's like 20 gigs of data that has to start downloading now. So on this episode, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're going to be focusing, there's stuff about the other games as usual later down the line, but we're going to be focusing on the pre-patch and what it means. And probably next episode, it's going to be about Legion proper, like the big stuff from Legion.
Right? Correct. I think that is the best way to handle it. We have a release date. A firm release date for the actual expansion, so we know how many weeks we have and what kind of content we can do. The trick with this pre-patch stuff is we don't know for sure. Like, we think it's Tuesday. We were a little worried it was last Tuesday, so it's all been a little bit up in the air. But as far as we know, it's coming this Tuesday, and this episode gives us a chance to sort of focus in on that and talk about what's going to change. Because this is going to be, for a lot of players, like it often is with these pre-patches and new expansions, it's a great way for players to figure out what's going to happen. Like, they're going to get the biggest changes are going to be on their hard drives. The things that matter to their character the most. Maybe not new content, maybe not new places to explore, but you're essentially going to be playing the way that your favorite character plays in Legion. And that's always nerve-wracking, exciting, server queues. Like, it runs the gamut of how exciting this can get.
This is basically all of the systems, all of the things that are changing in the base game are going to be into the entirety of the game when the pre-patch hits. And it's probably this Tuesday, as you said, and the way we're almost certain of this is that the PvP season is going to end on Tuesday. And traditionally, that's when the pre-patch has been hitting and has been activated.
Yeah.
Hey, before we dive into all of those, I didn't want to mention the comics. Have you seen the comics?
I have. They're good. They're really good. People should be checking those out. There's full motion stuff happening. There's regular comics to be reading. It seems like with every new release, they're doing this. They're putting out, comic content for games like Overwatch and other games, and certainly WoW is no exception. So if you haven't been checking those out, they're on the official Battle.net site or the WoW site. You can go find those and see those, and you should. Absolutely should. Yeah. And we've also got, I don't know when the first one's supposed to land, but we've got some story-based kind of motion graphics shorts coming, similar to what we have with Draenor and similar to what we had with the Monkey King blowing away way back in the Pandaria days. So those are coming, and we don't know when those are coming out. That. Do we know when those are coming out? I don't even know.
No, I don't think they even know. It's going to be coming in the weeks leading up to Legion. This is some exciting, some hyping up marketing stuff. And the comics, go check out the Made Fire app. If you haven't downloaded it already, it's people that are taking the existing comics and making them into motion comics, like perfectly well suited to an iPad or even a website. They have sounds, music, everything. It's awesome. And all of the WoW comics are available there and free. And they also have the Overwatch comics in the same form.
That's super cool.
So Made Fire is the way you want to be reading those comics. And the second one with the Nightborne, is it? The people in Suramar, which is the last zone in Legion, I'm like, I can't wait to see the follow-up of the story and what they are. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really, really good. So all this lead-up stuff is great. If you want to get hyped and stoked about characters and storylines and stuff, that's a great place to start. What else? Oh, you wanted to... So I don't know how you say this. Bellular gaming, is that right? It's like cellular, but bellular? Okay, bellular, whatever it is.
Bellular. I'm not sure, but his channel is awesome. It's a YouTube channel. And so I said that I was inspired by Dills, and it's certainly true for getting back into the game now, but I've been hyping myself up with Legion for a few weeks now, and this channel, Bellular Gaming, I don't know how the guy manages to do anything other than making WoW content on Legion. He has everything about everything. It's super well done, well produced. It's what you want, precise, crisp. And the guy, he just, you know, he doesn't sleep. So huge thanks to him. I mentioned him on Twitter and told people to go check out the channel. And he actually apparently is a listener to the show. So, you know, it's a small world.
Oh, that's fantastic. So, yeah. Yeah. And you went down a deep, like a deep, deep rabbit hole there. Like he has tons of content. And I swear, like for days there when I was trying to talk to you about various things, you seem to have disappeared into that world. So good job.
Yeah, exactly.
Good job, that guy, for bringing Patrick some much needed video love. All right. Let's talk about some of the stuff that is coming in this patch, or the supposed patch that we are supposed to see as early as Tuesday. Class and spec changes. These are the big ones. This is the stuff that affects your everyday activity in the game. And we're going to talk about some of them. Some of them have just slight alterations. Some have really complete crazy reworks like Demonology Warlocks, Survival Hunters. I would also point at, excuse me, at, who am I trying to think of here? Oh, Rogues. Rogues got...
The Rogues, yeah. The Outlaw.
Yeah, big time. Have you had a chance to mess with those much at all? Or done anything?
No, not really. Those are not classes that I'm used to. And quite honestly, I've spoiled myself so much of Legion already. I'm sort of staying away from it now. I wanna have something that are left to discover for me in the game.
That's
so no, I haven't
idea.
Messed with any of it.
That's probably a good idea. One nice feature of all, and we're not going to go through every single spec and what their changes are. If you are following your character, your main's changes, or even some of your alt's changes at all, you're fully aware of what's probably coming down the pike. So we're not going to get that detailed here. However, the guiding principle, as they've stated before, and as they talked a lot about at BlizzCon and recently in Q&As, seems to still be focused on the fantasy of the class. So if you're like, well, I maybe should try that, I don't know, at Warlock again. I haven't tried them in a long time. This is probably the time where you're going to see the most effort from Blizzard since the launch of the game, where they're just like, you know what? Zero laser focus on these characters being true to their fantasy. That still remains very exciting to me, and I've not done a ton of the beta as well to sort of save myself from being spoiled, but I'm very excited to see what that actually means. Like, I'm excited for this to become less of a how do I get from here to raiding and more of a why are mages badasses and what makes them tick, and, you know, kind of getting back to the reason we like these games in the first place.
I really think there's a lot of inspiration from, you know, getting back to the roots of why the games in general, not just WoW, but are super fun. And it comes down to what you're doing every second, what class you're playing, the dungeons you're going to, these kinds of things. And for the classes and specs specifically, that guiding principle of a fantasy has deep implications for some of the specs. I mean, some of them they've mentioned, you know, the mages, for example, all three specs are pretty distinct, and they correspond to the idea of each of the specs. If you're a fire mage, you're blowing stuff up. Although, I mean, fire mage, it was my main spec until Draenor. It was one of my main characters, and I've looked at how it's changed. It's one of the ones that has not changed all that much. But the artifact weapons, which are not going to be in the pre-patch, it's going to be in Legion itself, but right. It does change a lot. And it's when I was looking at gameplay videos, I was very excited at how much you're blowing stuff up with mages. It's really cool. But
yeah.
Mages, for example, are not changing a lot. But right. Other classes, for example, let's, you know, I'll change the order of the things we're talking about here for a second.
Sure.
For example, the Holy Paladins, are traditionally, they've been basically healers, and they just heal like every other class. In this iteration, they're going to be going closer to the, they're going to be contact healers, basically. They have to be closer to the ones they want to heal. So it's going to be very different from the other healers, and very active, I suspect, because you're going to have to be moving around quite a bit. So this kind of change, the
That's enormous, by the way. I just want to mention that. That's a big deal. Like for yeah. Now, it's going to be easy for people to get cynical and go, oh, man, I was fine with the way my paladin played. But it does sound like, you know, paladins are all about, to me, get over here and stand next to me. Yeah. He's the Reinhardt, basically, of this world. And you want to do that. And you want to be close to him. And he's going to give you auras and make you feel inspired because you're in proximity, not because you're 20 feet that direction. What that does to like raids and positional stuff when like mechanics kick in, you got to get out of the poop and people need to spread out. Like a lot of that stuff is still a big question for me with some of these changes. But I have to say, from someone who does not play a paladin, this might be the first time a paladin sounds interesting to me.
Yeah, I agree. What I want to see is basically the holy hammer of healing. Like he has to smack you over the head with a hammer and, you know, it makes you feel better. That would be awesome. but you know, there are other things. The outlaw rogue that you mentioned, it used to be combat rogue, which didn't mean anything. Now it's outlaw, and it's gonna be, he's gonna be playing with pistols and he's gonna be playing dirty. Yeah. You have the druids are another class that don't really change a lot per spec, but in keeping with that idea of the fantasy of the classes and of the specs, druids have a row of talent that is basically another spec's, how did they call it? Affinity, I think. Mm-hmm. So you can basically have the very, if you're a resto druid, you can choose to have the core spells of another spec. So you could be a resto druid and have, you know, more than the basic spells of balanced druid. Mm. So you would have a little bit of that gameplay, and you can actually fulfill two roles a little bit at the same time, much more than you did in previous iterations, even though there were some things that looked a little bit similar. I mean, here it's really like you have the basic rotation that is possible for an off spec, and that's very exciting to me as a druid main. Now I can do basically two things at once. It's obviously never going to be as efficient as someone who specializes in one thing, but
right.
So another to give this idea of how it's going to work, the demonology warlocks are basically, what they are saying is that they want to make the warlocks enslave the demons and not just become a demon. So you're going back to actually controlling those demons and playing with fire, basically getting closer to the that fell energy and to the to the burning legion. Yeah. And enslaving them and making them do your bidding, not just turn into a demon and destroy everything in around you,
which is so so cool, by the way. Love that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's a lot of basically intent. We're going to have to see how it works out within the expansion, but it speaks a lot to me. And the other thing that is really important, actually possibly even more exciting to a lot of people, is something that's been a little bit not everyone knows. There are basically one spec tree per spec. One talent tree per spec, for every spec. So you don't have this one talent tree that is common to all of your specs, but they have added like hundreds of talents to make each spec completely different. So each of the specs are going to have completely different choices. And I really like that change.
I do too.
I think it's going to be, it allows them to further, once again, because they don't have to cater to all of the specs with each talent tree, but they can cater to each fantasy individually. So yeah. I think that's going to be really
what cool. What they're doing here, and some may say I'm crazy or think that this is actually a bad thing, but I'm going to argue this is a good thing. It's an approach that they took with Diablo 3 over Diablo 2. Diablo 2 was a very regimented, once you chose what you had, you were stuck with it. There was no respecking for a very long time. That's not true anymore, but But Diablo 2 was all about that. It was all about locking in, making a choice. And if the end, at the end of the day, if you had a level 70, whatever, and he was terrible, he was on you. You were an idiot, and poo-poo for you for picking all the wrong stuff and not reading enough Usenet forums or whatever to find out, you know, what the best thing was to build your necromancer. What they've done here is a little bit like they did in 3. They said with 3, all right, look, we want this to be fluid. We don't want it to feel locked in. And even though you could go change your specs and stuff, this is a step towards, well, there's a few steps. The main step is you don't, there are no more dual specking. Forget about that 1,000 gold you spent back in Wrath of the Lich King. There is no dual specking.
You're not getting it back, by the way.
Right, you're not,
you don't go to the guy like, hey, dude. 5 years ago, I paid you 1,000 gold to do this. What gives?
Yeah, it's the time has the statute of limitations have passed. Statute, rather. So that's nice.
The statues, too.
Statues as well.
The
Why
statues
not?
Of limitation that you see in Stormwind, they're like, uh-uh, no, too late.
They're right there at the entrance. Watch out for those. Only dragons can knock them down. But anyway, the point is that, I don't know why I made that reference. You've got an opportunity to do spec switching without having to worry about anything. You just go to a city or a rest area, boom, change your spec. That's very fluid. Having individual talent trees per spec is also very fluid, and changing those is very easy. And basically just letting you construct a character in a much more unique way and doing things that are much more in keeping with the fantasy of it all. So in the end of all of this, the only real questions I have about this, and I really love everything about it, is what does it mean for endgame? I'm not that worried about what it means for PvP, which we'll talk about in a minute, because there's a lot of homogenization being done separately for PvP to keep people on the level playing field. And I think that's how they have to do it. But out in the other world, balance isn't as important. And I don't mean that someone's way OP and ridiculous, but like in Diablo 3, depending on how you rune up and what gear you have and what set you have and all of that, that will determine your playstyle, and you get to determine your playstyle. So suddenly these characters all feel way more sandboxy to me. And this is even before we get the weapons. The artifact weapons are going to change everything. And that's a whole nother, well to climb down to figure out and to min-max and everything else. But before that, there's this new playing field that is my hunter that used to be kind of regimented three ways you could go, and that was about it. Like, maybe finally they've reached that place that Greg Street always talked about, which is the perfect combination of customization and game balance. Maybe they're finally there, Patrick. They're like knocking at the door, and we're going to get it on Tuesday, part of it.
Yeah, I don't know that it's ever going to be, they're always going to be doing adjustments and changes. I don't know that this is more problematic than it was before. It's still the same number of specs and the same number of variables. Roughly that they have to adjust. So I'm not worried in that sense. You seem to be.
I'm not worried. It's not so much that I'm worried. It's that when you get to endgame,
I'm wondering.
Yes, I'm wondrous about this. Like I'm not. There's no real concern. Like they could listen. If Legion hits and everything is completely out of whack, I'm totally cool with that for a while because they'll tweak it. They'll tighten it up. Yeah. It'll be fine. But I really want them to lean hard into this fantasy matters and characters behave in ways their fantasy should. And we're not just all a bunch of vanilla versions of each other. And in a way, this answers a lot of vanilla lovers' questions about differentiation of classes, because there was a lot more of that in the beginning and is less of it now. So this is in some ways a return to form. In other ways, it's very progressive in thinking for the game. And I, for one, am very optimistic and positive about it. I know a lot of players are worried about it. I'm not one of them. I'm excited one way or the other.
They also added lots of little things like for, ease of use and quality of life. If you queue in an instance, as a certain role and you're leveling or questing in another role, you will be... your spec will be changed automatically for you once you get into the instance. So you don't have to go like, oh, wait, guys, I can't heal. I'm retribution at the moment. So everything is taken care of for you like that. And so I think it is.
Does it assume what role you want to be, though? So does it know, like, what if I want to play marksman and not, not survival or whatever while I go into that dungeon? Am I going to have the option?
You're talking about the pesky DPSers who don't have anything to worry about except doing DPS. I'm talking about the actual responsible players that do tanking or healing, and you know that do the heavy lifting during the instances.
Those ones that carry us through and actually have success. Yeah, I understand.
Exactly, those people, okay. The ones that matter. All right, not the DPS.
Yeah, you guys go ahead. See how quick that boss comes down. Go ahead. It's fine. See if you can heal him to death.
I don't know that it changes roles. Maybe it changes specs as well. Maybe it tells you, you know, it asks which spec do you want to play instead of which role. But that I'm not sure.
I wonder if at one point in the future, maybe not now, but maybe later, they let you pre-assign that to an instance. Like, I want to go run whatever, and you can set this requires new UI and everything else, so they're probably never going to do it, but they could add some sort of like, yeah, I always want to be survival when I go in here, and then it would just remember to do it.
So there is the UI for the different roles. If you're, I'm guessing again, that you have never done that.
Oh, Scott, right. When you choose. Yeah. No, you're right. They already do have that, but they don't do it.
Tank, heal.
But they don't do it if you and I are in like a big 25 man group, do they? No.
So anytime you use the raid finder or dungeon finder or anything like that, you specify the role you want to play in that dungeon. And when you start, it tells you which role you've been selected for. And so you know that you're the healer or the DPS or, you know, a DPS or a tank for that instance. And it's the same for every iteration of the raid, dungeon finder, and PvP and all of that. So now the only thing that's going to be different is that it's going to switch you to the spec you have been selected for when you enter the instance.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that applies to specs, different specs of DPS, or just to the different roles.
A little side note. Here's a quiz question for the audience. When can you tell that Scott hasn't raided in about 9 months? it's when he forgets there's a freaking UI for Raid Finder. That's when. It's really been that long. It's been forever for me. I don't know how long it's been for you, but
Until I went back into, you know, a week ago, I hadn't raided. I came in every once in a while to do a little bit, but hadn't done anything seriously for months and months. So. Yeah. Yeah, definitely agree with you there.
Well, all right. So real quick before we go past these enhancement shamans, I want to know what Maelstrom resource is, because I have not been following the what's going on with them at all. Can you tell me about that? What the hell's that?
So Maelstrom is a resource that is different from your mana. It's another resource that you have to build up and spend with the different abilities that you have. I don't know exactly how it works. Again, you know, there are like, what, 30 specs in the game, and I've never played a shaman.
Yeah.
So shaman, one of the either. Yeah, I've never played either.
Shamon.
So
it's a shaman. Yeah.
The shaman, I've never played them, so I don't know. But it's basically for enhancement shamans. They use different resources. So again, it differentiates them from their other shaman brethren.
Yeah, the shaman. Shaman. All right, that's cool. I just hope it means they have to go out and like farm it from the maelstrom itself. That would be awesome.
Farm the maelstrom. Yeah, they go and they hang out with Thrall and they're like, hey, dude. How's it going?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, me too, buddy. Let's talk about PvP. We've talked actually a bunch about it leading up to it, but this is what you're going to see on Tuesday. Gear is going to be normalized to eye level 850. All of you, every one of you.
Because I think we did a poor job at explaining it last time. It was a little bit confusing, and I'm realizing that my notes are a little bit confusing as well.
Mm.
So maybe I'll explain very quickly. Basically, when you go into a PvP instance, your gear doesn't matter. Every character of your same class and spec is going to have the exact same the exact same characteristics numbers. Everyone's going to have the same.
Right. Their gear. Everyone's gear is going to be normalized. Everybody's going to be on the same boat.
Yeah, your same amount of intelligence, same amount of agility, same amount of strength.
Right.
Everything.
Stats. Correct. Sidian in the chat room says it right. Stats is the word. Yeah. That's a crazy English word, hard to remember.
So stats are going to be the same for everyone in your spec. Then if you gear up, if you get really higher gear, you can increase the stats a little bit, but it's going to be a portion of the stats increase that you get because thanks to the gear. Basically, if someone has 100 levels 100 item levels on you, they're only going to be 10% more powerful than you are.
Right.
So basically, everyone's going to be on the a level playing field for PvP.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense. There's also a specific talent tree that unlocks as you progress into PvP levels, 1 to 50. Level 50, you can prestige going back to level 1. This is all very, anyone familiar with competitive online games will understand that whole system. And you get improved PvP insignia, that sort of thing. Progression in PvP that isn't just collect a bunch of currency, go to town and buy shit is something I'm very excited about.
You still get gear that, you know, at the end of the instances, we mentioned it last episode as well. So you do get, it's possible to gear up. And as we said as well, gear is not different for, there's no PvP gear. It's all the same.
Right.
And you get in Legion and in, in PvE and PvP, your gear has a chance to be upgraded randomly. So just like it does in the current game, but you also get that gear that can be upgraded in PvP instances. But overall, most people are going to be playing PvP and get level 1 to level 50 PvP level, and probably not going to prestige unless you're very dedicated to PvP. And that unlocks an entirely different talent tree. There's one talent every 2 levels, roughly, at the beginning, and then every 3 levels. And actually, let me check how many rows there are.
I'm getting excited while you're saying these words. I'm getting excited about PvP in the game for the first time ever. I don't care about it in this game, but this kind of progression is where I live. So I may never prestige like some kind of crazy person, but I'm way into the idea of like levels and talents and like a separate game. It's like a game within a game in a weird way.
So let me blow your mind then.
All right.
The PvP talents are also spec specific.
Whoa.
That you have an entirely different talent tree if you're playing one spec or another. They're again, the fantasy of the class. So you're going to have 2 entirely different trees, one for PvE, one for PvP. Obviously, the PvP talents only apply when you're doing PvP content. The PvE talents apply everywhere, but the PvP talents are only active when you're doing battlegrounds and arenas and all of that.
Yeah.
So again, the PvP talents are specific to your spec too. So when they were saying they were adding hundreds of new PvP talents, talents for the trees, they weren't kidding.
Yeah, they weren't joking around.
It's tremendous.
And I really feel like for the first time, the games feel together but separate. And I've always felt like that was the way to go. I mean, I know there's a utopian ideal of, wouldn't it be nice just to transition from one to the other and have it just, you know, be no different and accept that now you're fighting real people or whatever, but you're sort of keeping everything in the same line. And I don't think that works. And what's funny or ironic about it is now that they're doing this, it actually gets closer to that goal, which is I can just seamlessly transition into that part of the game and not feel like I'm completely out of it or that I'm way under leveled or that I just get stun locked constantly. Like it's like for the first time, PvP feels not like a tacked on thing, not like something you just expect from a Warcraft game like we were told in 2004 and 5, but actually a fleshed out thing. So I'm fingers are crossed, man. Holinka, you and your team, don't let us down, man. No pressure, though. No pressure. It's fine. You get gear after every battleground. Is that correct? That is correct, right?
Yeah. So every battleground, you get a piece of gear. And as I was saying, it has a chance to upgrade. So the way the upgrades work, and that's not going to be active when the patch arrives. The gear is only going to be active, I'm pretty sure, when you get to max level, or maybe not max level, but when you start doing things in Legion. The way it works is that it has a certain chance of upgrading by 5 item levels.
Yeah.
And so let's say you're supposed to get an eye level 800 piece of gear. It has, let's say, a 15% chance of getting 5 extra levels. So you would get an 805 item. But once that's determined, it again has the same chance of getting another upgrade and another and another. So the chances become ridiculously small of getting like 3, 4, 5 upgrades, but you could get an item that is 15, 20 levels higher than what you're supposed to get.
Yeah.
So
when you drop those shoulders that you wanted in PvP, and let's say it procs and hits a couple of eye levels higher, which is great. You know, a little RNGesus in your life. Never hurt anybody. you walk out of there. The point of that isn't, oh, I got these better PvP shoulders. What you got is better shoulders that can now go out into the world and be better shoulders for the rest of the game as well. That's enormous to me, because it used to be, all right, keep your shit separate. You got all your clothes over here and all your other, it's like having to have, well, on the Sunday, I dress up nice. And over here, I'm just a casual dude in shorts. And like, I hated that. And I'm just jazzed to hear that I can just get in there, earn something rad, go out and use in the real world, have that thing, you know, proc if I'm lucky, and have it be replaced by a raid drop. Great. And then have it replaced by another rad drop in the next time I PvP, like all of that is super exciting. Chat room wants to make a point clear, and I think it's important to mention this for listeners at home or they're live reading this. A lot of people don't know this. There are no weapon drops in Legion, period. There are no, well, there might be junk drops out in the world or something, but nobody's dropping any. You're never going to have a drop when it's like, ooh, I could really use that staff. Ooh, I could really use that thing. It's all about your artifact weapon. Now, what they do in the next expansion, we could pontificate on and probably save that for a year or two before we start doing that, but it's a curious idea, right? This idea that you get an entire expansion with no weapon drops at all. What you are doing is advancing the weapon you have, your artifact weapon. And how that transitions to a new expansion, I don't know. It does start to feel like a thing that they almost have to keep around, but I'm not sure. I said that about garrisons early on, and I was wrong. So we'll see.
No, I don't think they'll keep it around, because one of the exciting stuff to get in, you know, in an expansion or in a new raid is to get a new piece of gear and especially a weapon. So I think they're going to be going away. However, the important to note is that the artifact, your artifact weapon, which we'll get into this next week, but super exciting piece of a super exciting feature, but that one you keep and is complete in PvP, and you can use it to its full potential. So that's the one piece of gear that you've worked super hard towards, and it actually changes your abilities as it would in PvE when you're in PvP.
Which is super rad. I'm very excited about that as well. And we'll, like you said, we'll talk about that at length next week. Tuesday, you will not be getting your artifact weapons. Tuesday, you'll be wearing the same ass dumb weapons you already had. although... In theory, your hunters will be able to, well, not in theory, in reality, your hunter will be able to have weapons again that aren't just a bow or a gun. You'll have those kinds of
staves.
Yeah, staves. And you'll have
pole arms. I think
pole arms. That's correct. But you'll have your capabilities that are changing. They just won't be the artifact weapon yet. Oh my gosh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Chat room said this. Glommerwort says, but nothing will be... Oh, sorry, what did he say earlier? So it seems weird to build everything around these artifacts and then go back to regular weapons and future expansions. I would only say to that, I agree at this point, but I also said that about... I thought that about garrisons. I thought, well, if they're going to have them here, and now this is how people are getting things made for themselves, or they're min-maxing on their various professions and stuff, well, then this has to stay, clearly. But I was wrong about that. So maybe it depends on how well it's received. Like, I think if garrisons were so well received and beloved, maybe they would have had to carry it forward. And maybe that's what happens to artifact weapons. It does seem very fundamental now, and it seems weird to not have them in the next one. But I have learned from experience not to tie my wagon to that just yet.
I don't agree. I think this is awesome for this expansion, but things change. The thing with World of Warcraft is that really every expansion is kind of a new game. It's the same basis. It's a lot of the things remain, obviously, and that's normal. But there are so many things that also change that it's a very different experience for people who are used to it. So, yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens. It's a little bit too
early. It's a little early to say, isn't it? I agree. Tidbits of stuff that are also happening on Tuesday. Let's talk about a bunch of these. Transmog wardrobe is a thing you will have access to on Tuesday, assuming it.
Yeah, so
Tuesday.
I'm putting it as a tidbit, because it's really just that. You get a wardrobe that is a collection, just like your pets or toys or, you know, all of those, where you get all of the items that you've ever well, not the ones that you've ever acquired, but a lot of the ones that they can track, you're going to have their appearance available, and you can design, outfits that you can select at the click of a button. And so a lot of people are hunting transmog gear now and looking forward to having a very easy way to equipping all of these appearances without you just, having to have all of the items in your bags and some silly mod that is annoying to handle. So you'll just click a button and you have the outfit, the appearance only. Obviously the items are the same. It's just transmog. So it's a wardrobe. It's super cool.
Yet another great thing for this team to not steal, but lift from the Diablo team. The way the transmog works over there has always been very elegant and simple and easy to use. What you've described to me, the wardrobe sounds like that, and that's awesome. Totally stoked about that. Melee animations have been totally redone and they look really good. I agree. Seen video, look great. So you're not going to just look like
it's very dynamic.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Like last expansion, it's hard to remember this because it feels so long ago, but it's also so recent. That's when we got our new models was Warlords. People forget that. And so the pre-patch for that game, one of the big things was you would have your new model of whatever character you play, except for, I guess, who was it? Blood Elves didn't have them at launch and somebody else. Can't remember who. Anyway, it was just them. And that's
fine. You're racist.
And they suck. Like,
yeah. Wait, was it Warlords?
It was Warlords.
It felt like it was.
Isn't that weird?
I guess it was.
Yeah, it was right. Totally Warlords. It was crazy. But now we're starting to see them hit animation stuff, which seems like the order to go in if you're going to have an order to these things. What else?
Yeah, and if you're playing a melee class, they look really good. But I'm usually playing casters, so I can't wait for the next expansion when they redo casters. Hopefully,
yeah. You don't. What do you mean? You're not sick of mages going?
Yeah, exactly.
The same thing over and over. I can't imagine. what else? Oh, HP and resource bars appear below your character, not above them. Ooh.
No, but it's basically a lot more detailed. You have all of the details that you have on your character frame, on the unit frame. Mm. It's just below your own character, so you can look at the fight instead of looking at, however many combo points you have in the top left of the screen. So that's just a nice little additional.
Yeah, it's a nice UI quality thing. Of life things. Like there's another one. There's a circle. The circle below the mob, which we've always had as just a circle, will have a little sort of, and I've seen this in the beta, like a little arrow type looking point to it, so you know which direction they're facing. I think that has a lot to do with how demon hunters behave. So people, them and rogues want to plan attacks in ways that best maximize where they're stabbing from and what direction at what time. Seems like a nice quality of life improvement there as well. There's been improvements for profession UI, which won't affect me at all because I hate them. This includes
finally you get the professions are getting a huge rework, by the way. We might touch on it next time, but you get finally double-sized windows. It's been killing me, and there's an add-on for this, but anyway, yeah, professions, yeah. UI, thank God,
finally class trials for everyone. Well, let's talk about that.
Yes,
yeah. So we screwed up last time. Well, I mean, we didn't screw up.
It was my fault. I didn't realize.
I blame you then. So explain what happened. What was the problem there?
So, well, I played a little bit and didn't realize that the class trials were actually available for just when you create a new character, level 100 character. Well, okay, even if you don't have a level 100 boost, you can just decide, I'm going to create a level 100 character, go through the class trials and a little bit of the quest line, and then you get to decide whether or not you want to use your booster or buy one. So it's just a way for you to try out a different class and, see which class you want to use your booster on. But it is available for everyone. And thank you to the many people that let me know. It wasn't just if you had a booster available that you could do this. So yes, it does make sense. The world is whole again. Thank you.
It all makes sense now. Joining us, it looks like, is Dills. Dills, you over there?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, man. What's going on? You made it. Yay, you made it.
Not much. Just got back to the house. I've been spending some time up north, so.
Oh, that's good.
Glad to be here.
North Texas.
Oh, yeah. Well, North Austin. Oh,
okay. Well, that's even better.
Cedar Park, specific.
Well, it's good to have you here. We've been we've been just going through some of the minor stuff here. We've done some pretty deep stuff about PvP and class changes, but we're sort of just talking about the little bits and what we think is happening on Tuesday for the pre-patch.
I was saying how you have been my inspiration, Dills, for getting back into WoW, and I'm basically back hardcore.
He has a problem.
I'm doing everything. Yeah. Everything. All the things I'm doing.
He has a real problem now. Cool. Yeah, that's been
how I've been playing too. I kind of started to dip my toe, and the next thing you know, I was 6 hours into a night and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got my Draenor flying is complete. Yeah. I now fly around Draenor, which is sweet.
Yeah.
I got my warrior to 99, so I'll hopefully have him by 100 to 100 pretty soon. Working on the final part of the legendary quest chain, and then of course today. Or yesterday started the pet stuff, 200 bonus experience or whatever. So, So I got I finally hit 35 level 25 pets or something like that. Yeah. Wow. It's everything.
Yeah. You guys are nuts. So give me, you're flying now. Which of the zones is it? Bird town or whatever the hell it's called, whatever the name of the zone is. Is that the best looking right. one? Yeah, that's it. Is it nice from the sky or which one do you prefer flying over now?
It's all pretty nice. The biggest advantage that I found though is just my alts. It just makes leveling up the alts so much faster.
Yeah,
you're not just running around. You know, and once you've already seen all this stuff, you don't need to see it all again. Which is I think the idea behind doing all this. But
yeah.
And then of course, you know, hanging out in Warspear and actually like floating above everybody is pretty nice. Looking at all the plebs running around on the ground.
I hadn't considered that. There's like a real class warfare going thing for those who fly and those who don't. That's amazing.
And I didn't even pay attention to that you get the sky terror too, which is actually a pretty cool mount. I totally forgot about that, but it's awesome.
Like reward for. I've totally forgot about that as well. That's crazy.
I didn't even think about it, and then I hit the achievement. And I was like, oh yeah, and another free mount. Thanks.
That's awesome.
I've been doing my dailies in Tanan Jungle, and the class warfare thing, it's so true. I'm running around on the ground, and the people are just flying in, and I'm like, hey, guys, can one of you guys give me a ride? Because I'm like, I can't fly, and like, I could run, but it takes a really long time. And it's like, okay, fine. Silly druid.
Yeah, of course.
So a couple of tips if you're going through that last little section. The Sight Unseen or whatever quests, those are the ones that kind of take the most time because you have to gather treasures and kill rares, you know, to get your order of the rep up.
Yeah. Oh, that is so long.
Yeah.
Although the Saber Stalkers is really long too. But,
yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But at least those you can go and kill some NPCs and just kind of, you know, blast through a little bit faster. But this one you have to gather the treasures and kill the rares. But there's a little cave. Directly. So first of all, you want to go to, what's the cave called? I'm gonna have to pull it up. But there's a little cave where there's a pirate guy in there, and it's like right by that one little section where all the like snakes and the raptors are living.
Oh right.
But if you go over there, there's actually repeatable treasures. So those treasures will come back every day, and you get three instantly from that. And then if you go to the little place where you fight the guys. In the little ring where you put the totem down and then you fight the dudes. I can't remember what that's called, but that'll give you three too. And then all you have to do is like do a couple more.
Yeah.
So that's like the way to speed through that a little bit. And then once you're close, these cost about 3K gold a piece or something, but there's the emblems that will give you 1,000 rep with all of the Draenor factions. So
oh, really?
Get,
wait, where is that?
You can buy them in the auction house. It costs about 3K gold a piece.
God, I'm going to do that right now. F those daily quests.
Yeah, so but you're probably not going to want to do all of your rep this way, but it'll help you get the last like 5,000-6,000. You know, it'll cost you about 15K, 20K gold or something like that. But it just speeds you through the last bit. So
right. Yeah, I'm almost there. I'm like, I don't know, maybe 60-70% there. So
okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah,
you'll
see, that's what I did. Is I got most of the way, and then that last little bit, I was like, I could either do four more days of this, or I could go to the auction house. And
Yeah, it's worth the money, man.
Spend all that extra gold. Who makes, that I've been
who's got
forever.
Those in the auction house? Who's selling those? Or how are they making them? Like, where are those coming from?
They're a drop.
Oh, it's a drop from the...
It's a non-jungle
drop. Hellfire Citadel.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can get it from there as well. But yeah, they basically just random drops. So.
Did not know those sold. I thought they were bound. So that's interesting.
Nope. Mm. Nope, they are completely unbound.
Nice. Well, Patrick, get your gold together and head on over to...
You'll be flying by the end of the show.
That's right. Well, okay, we need to take a quick break and talk about some sponsor stuff. So here you go. All right, everybody. I got a chance here to talk to you about our friends at Squarespace, at squarespace.com. You're sitting there going, you know, Scott, I want to make a website. What about? I'd say. And you'd say, well, I want to make one that's all about Legion and my fandom of World of Warcraft, or I want to make a fan site all about Thrall and all of my fan fiction I've written for him and his life. Hey, I'm not here to judge. I'm here to say great, because there's a place you can do this and do it a little cheaper today if you use our code. That place is squarespace.com. All the tools, all the templates, all the stuff you need to make a great website on mobile, desktop, or wherever you're looking at that thing. I love Squarespace. They want you to build it beautiful. That's their slogan, in fact. How about build it a little cheaper? Use the free code. Use the free code that I'll give you here in a second. But before that, get a trial. It's 14 days, absolutely free. It doesn't cost you a dime. 14 days free at squarespace.com. Once you decide to stay, you use the code INSTANCE, and that's going to save you. How much? 10% on your account. That's INSTANCE at checkout at squarespace.com. Do it today. I am glad to hear about class trials. We're cleared up on that. Significant decrease in view distance. We've known about this.
Increase. That's
oh, increase. Sorry. I meant, oh, you're not talking about zoom like on mouse. You're talking about like.
Yeah, not the camera distance. I don't know where they ended up on that, but that's been decreased. But the view distance when you're going to be in Draenor, the Broken Isles, that's going to be, oh, actually.
It's everywhere,
I'm
isn't
not
it?
Sure it applies to the old continent.
I thought it was everywhere. I thought it did. That's not usually true. What they do, and then it's just and yeah. It just sort of works. Like original vanilla zones are all zoomed out after I don't remember what it was, Cataclysm maybe. Whenever they did the first big trial, but I don't think they have to do anything to the stuff. It just removes all that fog, and you end up with a better view distance. Mm-hmm. But as far as that zoom thing goes with mouse, I'm very curious about that Tuesday to have someone get hands on. Who's worried about it? Like Dills, you'd express some concern. We've gotten a lot of feedback from people back and forth about it, why they think or don't think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm anxious Tuesday to see how everyone feels about it.
I had a guy tweeting back and forth with me about it. Where, we had kind of concluded that he doesn't see why it's important. And I do. So we're never going to, like, I think there's like not really a place where people are going to end up like, suddenly seeing the other side. Yeah. It's just some people think it's important and some people don't. So the people who don't think it's important, congratulations.
It's like Valor. It's like Valor and Mystic in Pokemon Go. F those Mystic bastards is all I'm saying. For no reason. I got no reason to say it except for some reason I'm Valor and they're not. All right.
I'm Insight.
Oh, are you? Look at you breaking
I guess I'm the one that doesn't matter to you.
Well, those two. So it's funny. Every time I hear about the three groups and anyone listening to the show, I thought, oh, one show I won't have to hear a thing about Pokemon Go in. Sorry, you're going to hear one thing.
Sped right by all the Pokestops on the way home to get here. So, I feel like I sacrificed quite a bit. There was lots of Pokemon.
I wondered why my dog walk this morning took about 20 minutes longer than usual. And it's because I stopped at everything that popped.
I was really excited last night when I found out that the hotel that's about a 1 minute walk from my house is now a Pokestop.
Oh my lord.
So if I if I'm just sitting around the house and I just feel like going out and getting some Pokeballs, I can just take a little walk. Take a little stroll.
So Patrick, is the action cam in this patch? Are we gonna see that? The one that
it should be.
All right. Is it an official thing though? Like in the UI, can I say turn on or off the action cam? Okay.
No, it's really what they said was that basically they left it. It was a test they were messing around with, and it's not a complete feature. It shouldn't be in there, but people liked it, so they decided to leave it on. But yeah, it is absolutely not complete. You have to go into the console to activate it. And it, as we said last week, it is a little bit wonky. So
yeah,
activate at your own risk.
Yeah. Otherwise, I think this would be an official thing. Stormwind Park has been rebuilt. Finally, the leftovers of stupid dragon mess are cleaned up, and Stormwind Park back in full glory. I don't go there, don't care about it much, but hey, those people who do, good luck to you.
Well, you know, this could have been solved so much faster if they didn't piss off the Defias Brotherhood, you know? So really, I mean, this is the Alliance is just reaping what they sow.
I like this. You got like a lore reason. I like this a lot. That's good. Yeah. I like that a lot. Just, all right. You know,
Edwin Van Cleef would have been building the damn Stormwind up again instead of, you know.
It would have taken him 3 days.
Dead mines, yeah.
The graphic settings above Ultra, there's 3 new ones. That's crazy. Like, what are those going to give
well,
me?
Well, Super Ultra?
Yeah.
Ultra Man?
So,
what's going on?
Well, basically, they removed the nomenclature. It's not called Ultra or anything anymore. But it is the Ultra, now it's from 1 to 10, I think, and Ultra used to be 7. So they have 3 above. So if you want the game to look completely, if you think that your graphics card can run everything at max, maybe it won't be the case on Tuesday anymore because like max is even maxer.
Yeah, it's maximum. It's what the word means even. So I like the idea that these are, it's like the graphic settings have received sort of a torment level treatment like Diablo has. Like, oh, we got torment 10 now. Used to be only torment 6. So there's that. Let's see what else. You cannot start the legendary quest line anymore on August 30th. You can't finish it. So if you're not done, you're screwed. If you haven't started, you're screwed.
Well that's
sorry.
A long
I think
time.
It has to be to step 2 for it to not be deleted. So you still have about a week to go in, not a week, a few days, the weekend, to go in and at least bring it to step 2. But, you know, that being said, you're probably not going to be able to finish it anyway.
If you haven't started it, there's no way. You'll have to run LFR, regular and heroic or whatever to ever build up enough of those things fast enough. So.
Oh, wait, do you get the drops on all of the different versions?
I feel like you do. I don't know. I haven't doubled.
I'm only doing LFR. So.
Can I ask a philosophical question? Why take it out in the first place? They probably answered this and I missed it. But what's the point? Just why not just get
it special? I think really, but
yeah, it's not fun if you get your super special legendary thing and then everyone can ever, you know, whoever plays can go and do it. It takes time though, so it would require dedication.
Oh, never mind. Only 1 drop per boss per week. Okay. Well, I've only been doing LFR and normal if I'm not doing LFR, so I'm not double dipping anyway. Okay. So I have no way to know.
All right. I remember LFR.
But I think I have enough time to finish mine then.
Yeah.
Because you just can't start it, but you can still finish it by the 30th. So I'm good.
30th is...
I don't think I'm going to be able to. I'm midway through and...
You don't think you'll make it? I don't know, Patrick.
I don't think
put
so.
Your mind
only
to
one
it.
Way to find out.
You're a scrappy little Frenchman. Come on, you got this.
Oh, I'm gonna keep going.
All right,
I'm gonna go too. But I have 207 elemental runes for the second tablet, and I have a third to go. So
that sounds like a lot.
You can buy those runes with Apexis crystals, by the way, in Tanan Jungle.
Oh,
wait, what?
So you can maybe speed that up a little bit too. Yeah.
The elemental runes.
Yeah.
Apexis. Not the full rune, but the pieces, the fragments.
Get your Apexis on, Patrick. Come on.
It costs
Where?
A lot
wait,
of
wait,
Apexis.
Wait, what?
Stuff, so.
Where?
It's one of those. There's like a little guy with a legendary quest thing icon.
Oh, right. Of course, it's once a week. Yeah. Yeah, that's I knew. Oh, damn it. You made me. You rose my hopes up and then.
But it's still a significant amount. It's like 75 or something like that. So, because you have to have 300 of the fragments to make one damn tablet, and then you got to make 3 of those tablets.
Yeah. Patrick, it was like a Viagra placebo.
No idea what we're talking about. He just knows that it sounds like an awful grind, and it is.
What you described was a Viagra placebo to me. As you were brought up and then like down. Anyway, let's see what else. That's terrible. Let's talk about the pre-launch event. This starts a few weeks after the patch, so this isn't going to happen Tuesday, but we have the Demon Invasion. This is a 4-stage scenario in various zones. You get accessories and transmog items, so there's stuff to earn there. Hearing good things about this invasion, people have seen stuff on PTR, I assume, because they're all talking about how cool it is. I've tried to avoid spoilers because I want to see this fresh and on the live realms. So I can't really speak to any of that. But anyway, it seems interesting. Dark Whispers transforms you into an agent of the Legion. So you're going to become one of them for a while. This is familiar, though. Why does this sound so familiar to me? Like, this feels like a pre-launch thing for another expansion for some reason. Doesn't it?
Well, Dark Whispers is a very old godsy thing.
Yeah. But doesn't it have like a... Something's familiar about me being turned into the thing we're fighting for a while to get to kick things off. Is it maybe
you're referring to the Wrath launch event where you could turn into zombies?
That was it. Yeah, you basically became a bunch of Forsaken zombies because of the crates. That's right. You're totally right. I forgot about that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think this, you know, it's gonna be interesting that launch event, but I don't expect much from it. I think there's those things only last for a couple of weeks, and it's usually not the part of the expansion that they spend the most time on. Clearly, you know, they have more important things to do, like the things that are going to last for the entirety of the expansion. So I'm not expecting much. It's going to be nice. You can get some transmog gear with the, I can't remember the name of the currency you get. So the Dark Whispers transformation could be fun. It can even transform you into one of those giant, what's the name? Like the bigger demons. but you know, it could be fun. I'm not expecting much, but on the other hand, the undead thing stays, you know, in the minds of everyone as something super fun that they did. So maybe it's going to be of that caliber. Most of the expansions, the expansion launch events we've had since then have not been.
Well, Warlords was in particular kind of poor. It was real short and kind of lame. So anything
you
here
had
is
a quest line that was, yeah, go see Khadgar and kill a few orcs, and you're like, okay.
Speaking of Khadgar, I think that's what's the over under on Khadgar in this introductory scenario stuff being a loud yelly guy telling everyone to run and push forward, and I have this feeling I'm going to get a lot of Khadgar going, gather to me. The demons have come to the thing. There's just going to be a lot of that.
I'm pretty sure he's going to say the demons have come to the thing. I'm fairly certain that's going to be his.
Well, I got the leaked voiceover transcripts right here in front of me. It says right here, Khadgar, the demons have come to the thing.
I think we have a title.
There. Yeah, I think we're good. Yeah, the demons have come to the thing. That's not bad. All right, what else? Broken Shore quest line introduces the Legion story, so you're going to get that. But again, all this is post-launch.
After the invasion event starts, we're going to have the actual quest line, which is going to be probably similar to the one we had for Draenor, which means maybe, you know, half an hour of questing, and then you know what's happening in Legion.
Yeah, and Demon Hunters, they don't get to do anything. They get to start before, but you have to pre-order the game, but they get to start before launch of the game, right?
Right, for anyone... So everything we've talked about until now, everyone gets, whether or not you have Legion or not. However, if you have pre-ordered Legion, which, by the way, only applies to people who have pre-ordered digitally, if you want a collector's edition, if you want a regular edition, I don't know why you would buy it in a store rather than online, but okay, maybe it's cheaper. But the collector's edition... You have to wait until it's available in store on the day of launch. And so you're not going to be able to play the Demon Hunters early because they're only available to the people who have pre-purchased the game online. So that kind of sucks. There's something about if you contact CS, you activate the initial one and then the collector's edition one, and then you can get an extra key that you can get to someone if you contact CS. I'm not 100% sure on this. I've heard it on another podcast.
Yeah.
So I'm not even sure that works, but it kind of sucks that you can't, you know, activate for with the collector's edition first.
What that tells me is they have sold a billion more pre-solds on digital than they have been for years, and collector's editions are a very small percentage of that, so they're doing the thing that catches the most fish. I'm sure of that.
Yeah, of course. But yeah, anyway, so the Demon Hunters, they're going to be available at the latest August 17. It might be a little bit before that even. And you just get to start. So the Demon Hunters are the second heroic class. The first one was the Ice Knight Lord people, Death Knights.
The Death Knights, yeah.
The Death Knights. So basically, the Ice Knight Lord people were a way for you to play Arthas. Yeah. Basically, that's what it was. You would play the fantasy of Arthas. Here, the fantasy is that you're playing Illidan. Mm-hmm. And so you have an introductory two levels of questline, which is pretty cool. I've gone through it in the beta a while ago. And you get from 98 to 100 in that roughly, I would say, 2-3 hours quest line. Yeah. And then you can play with everyone. So starting August 17 at the latest, you're going to see a lot of people playing, a lot of Demon Hunters everywhere. And they have two specs, not three. They only have two. One is DPS, one is tank. And they are incredibly mobile. They have double jump. They have a sort of dash, like if you remember Genji's dash in Overwatch. That's kind of what it looks like. They can glide, so you can double jump and then glide like you do with Aviana's feather. Maybe a little bit, you fall a little bit faster. But and they don't have a lot of they have a lot of abilities that don't require targeting. So it makes the gameplay incredibly dynamic. And they're kind of a melee glass cannon. If you can stop them in their tracks, they're probably dead. Yeah. So they have to stay mobile all the time, and they can transform into a demon with like a giant laser beam that comes from their eyes in front of them in a small radius. I haven't played with it enough. I've played maybe, as I said, 2 or 3 hours with the beginning experience, but they look super fun and quite different from the other classes in that they are so mobile and they don't rely on targeting as much.
Well, much more than monks and Death Knights were. But, you know, Dills, it occurs to me, describing these as a melee glass cannon, doing great damage but needing to stay out of the fray as much as they
That's
can.
Illidan
it sounds
Heroes,
like Illidan and Heroes. Yeah, like that is straight up a description of Illidan and Heroes, and that is how you have to play them there. So, you know, at the very least, this tells me once again they are really speaking to the fantasy of these characters, and doing that right out of the gate with a brand new class like this. Whereas, you know, monks had to be a little bit homogenous, and Death Knights were weird, but they weren't that weird. They're getting weirder actually with this expansion. So I'm all for this. I've messed with that a bit in the beta. I think we all have at least looked at it, I think. Haven't we all? I think we all did. Dills, did
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
You play with it? All right.
Well, I've played as, yes, I've played some PvP stuff.
Yeah. Have you done anything with, you haven't done anything with the Demon Hunters, like the starting area or any of that?
No. All I've done is, yeah, I've literally like just done the PvP stuff because I just don't want to see any of the other things.
Right. So I did the first.
But the Demon Hunters are kind of OP in PvP right now, or at least they feel that way.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So balance isn't final. So
my little bit in the beta was just that with Demon Hunters. I did a bunch of their starting area, didn't quite finish it because I was bugged how much I already knew. And I decided I didn't want to see any more of that. I actually streamed it, so it's out there somewhere. But yeah, everything about that seemed really cool. My only complaint was that their whole starting zone was so dark, I had to crank my gamma up on my computer. Real bummer, right? Sad day for all of us. And finally, we know what the Legion spec minimum specs are for your computer. So if you were all worried about, oh my gosh, will my rig run this thing? Here's what you're going to need minimum. Intel CPU, Intel Core 2 Duo. That means not just for Legion, but for this patch, this is where you're going to want to be. That has been increased.
Everyone should have that, unless your computer is really, really old.
I completely agree. Yeah, you're like, what are you even doing anymore if this is what your machine is? You need to have, let's see, there's a whole bunch of chip recommendations. I don't care about the AMD stuff so much. The disk space, you need 35 gigabyte. That's been increased to 45. So the new minimum is 45. Used to be a GPU was only an 8800 GT from NVIDIA. It's now a GT 440 or an AMD Radeon HD 4850, increased to a 5670. They are recommending Windows 7, 8, or 10. That's increased from, or increased to 10. Is that right? Recommended operating systems, Windows 7, 8, or 10 increased to 10. I don't know what that means.
Well, recommended 10.
Yeah,
right?
But I guess they're recommending 10. Let's see what else. The Intel CPU they recommend is an i5-2400 that's increased to, or they used to, now increased to an i5-3330. Or an AMD FX4100 increased to an FX6300. So if any of those things ring a bell, let us know. Video card recommendation on the video on the NVIDIA side used to be GTX 470 that was recommended. They now recommend a GTX 750 Ti or a AMD Radeon 260X. I hate all these names and numbers. But anyway, if so there's an increase, but I still say that's a pretty low level. Most people are going to be fine. If you're a PC gamer at all, you should be okay. As far as Mac people, don't know what to tell you. They didn't release that. We don't know. I mean, you can still play on a Mac. I just don't know what the hit is on the Mac. That could be weird.
I think if you're able to play today, you're probably going to be able to play when it hits. It's just that they have those, you know, ultra max settings that you won't even be able to see. I think this is a average that they're giving. So
I agree.
Yeah, you're going to be fine. Maybe in Legion, it might be a little bit slower, but I don't think you're not going to be able to play.
Yeah, you should be fine. All right, let's talk quickly about the rest of what Blizzard's got going on. So good job, WoW. We're excited for you. Get here Tuesday. Holy shit, it's going to be great. Can't wait. New expansion.
And next week, you know, if you thought that was a little bit exciting, next week is Legion content, and that is incredibly exciting.
Yeah, we're going to talk a ton about that. So come back for our big Legion special next week. Heroes of the Storm got Gul'dan this last Tuesday. He was on the PTR week before that. I think he feels like a pretty strong mage. So far, seeing him do okay. His Hotslogs numbers aren't great, but whatever. New character.
He's a warlock, not a mage.
Mage.
He feels like a warlock, too.
I keep saying mage.
Exactly like
Here's why I keep saying mage, because the problem in the game right now is that there is a auto-ban meta happening that everyone's familiar with, where when you start a game, you're pretty much guaranteed that two of your strongest mages, Kael'thas and Li Ming, are going to get banned right away. You're left with Jaina, who got some improvements, I think. I like her a lot right now with these changes, but it's not quite the same. So with them out of every either ranked or drafted play that you play, that sucks. I think he brings in more than, you know, Chromie was intended to. He brings in a kind of similarity to those two other characters. Damage is insane. There's like some really cool stuff you can do with him that you'll at least start to see him being available or one of the other two being available because one of those guys gets banned.
Well, somebody, you can't ban them all at this
right.
point.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm...
But yeah. The thing is, he feels like a warlock, because if you've ever played a warlock in World of Warcraft, managing your health and your mana is just a huge part of what you do, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He is very much in that vein where, you know, you're tapping, like you're always trying to tap when your health isn't super low, but your mana is not all the way down, like, or when your health is, yeah, anyway, you're like not trying to keep either bar completely full.
Right.
And so it's like, this is like what you do as a warlock too, is you tap when it makes sense. You tap when you have like healers that have a little bit extra mana, or time to spend it on you. And you do the same thing with Gul'dan.
Yep.
And also, yeah, his abilities are amazing.
Yeah.
He has maybe the worst ultimate ever.
Reign of disappointment. I'm sorry, chaos.
Yeah, Reign of chaos is definitely chaotic, but not a lot of things die.
Yeah,
so
it's not great.
And you have to channel it. You can't move while you do it. It does have a huge range, but you know, maybe even if they tighten that range, it might be better because you'd hit more things within it.
I like it because the only reason I like it is we were figuring out ways the other night to have it take down a bunch of structures. So as an ult that was also a good siege play, it was pretty good.
But it's not even anywhere near what Raynor can do. His even gets bonus damage to structures, and it hits everything inside the circle, and the circle moves.
It's a good point.
I mean,
it's a better.
It's so bad, and you're not channeling. You're running around doing Raynor stuff while that's going off. Yeah, it's the worst. Man.
You're running around being what we call two button Terry on the core show. You just you don't have to worry about it. You set the Empyrean on its way, and off you go. No,
you're right clicking Roger. Exactly. the thing is that the Horrify is just so much better. And if they made that one, other one really good, I don't know what the.
It's real weird, but as a character, generally speaking, he's pretty rad.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, he's great.
And he's super cool, and he's very Gul'dan, and it, I don't know. He they put a villain in Warcraft that's got some real intrigue around him, and it's great. And the movie didn't hurt that as well. So
no.
Anyway, check that out.
Yeah, I think, you know, the movie is really making Gul'dan into, I mean, he's been the main antagonist for a couple of extensions now. If you don't know what's happening in Legion, I'm not going to say anything. But he is sort of becoming the main evil, and it works really well. I mean, he has this, when, like, anytime anyone says everything, now you think of Gul'dan's glowing eyes. Yeah. So yeah. That's really
my cool. Wife said, how much of this stuff are we putting in the, she said this the other day, she says, how much of the stuff in this room are we putting in the garage sale for Carter's college fund stuff that we're doing? And I said, everything. And they all look at me like, what the hell are you doing, Dad? Like, what are you even saying? So it's, you're right, it's a problem, and he's great. So Gul'dan, I give him thumbs up, slightly quavering thumbs up because of that terrible ult. It's not great.
Well, the thing is, though, he should be this, because if it wasn't for him, then World of Warcraft would be a super boring video game where we all run around and live in peace all the time.
Yep.
So, no, there are lots of enemies. I mean, I'm happy about Gul'dan.
Try to barter with the dwarves. That would be the game. Try to figure out if they can send some boomsticks our way. Like, yeah. That would be the game.
Yeah.
And there'd because be no, of him, we have the yeah, horde.
He's great. Like, he's truly he's the virtual Hitler we didn't know we wanted. There he is for all to love.
He's the catalyst for the entire damn thing. So, yeah, obviously.
Good job, Gul'dan.
Well, I mean, I guess really it's like the Void Lords, I think, but whatever. You know what I'm saying? Then they came and they got him and whatever.
He's right. The impetus. Yeah. That's the word we're looking for. All right. Diablo, we got to at least mention this. Josh Mascara is leaving the company, or has left the company, is no longer at Blizzard, is no longer head of the Diablo team. And I feel like that crushes any expectations I had for sequel announcements or anything. I was just curious if any of us here had a theory or I don't know, what does this mean for the franchise? It wasn't an ugly departure from all accounts. He just wanted to move on, did a lot to save that game, turned it into something pretty rad.
I think he got an offer.
Yeah.
I think someone told him, hey, dude, we want to give you lots of money so you can do our game. Mm-hmm. And he was like, how much money? And they were like, how much do you want? And he was
It's a ton.
Yeah. You'll sleep in it. You'll wash in the money. We'll give you enough money to wash yourself every day. Yeah, he probably did that, and that's fine. He was so instrumental in turning that game around from a good game to a really great game that he's going to have to be missed. But this probably kills like Gamescom or any other chance of us hearing like, hey, Diablo 4 right around the corner, don't you think?
Yeah. Remember when I was saying, hey, I'm sure there's going to be a Diablo announcement at Gamescom or latest at BlizzCon. I'm not so sure anymore.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. Maybe. Yeah. Dills, what do you think? Maybe BlizzCon? Maybe.
BlizzCon would be like maybe some sort of super future announcement, but we're so far away from it right now.
Yeah. They'd get a basic story structure from Metzen and his team, and then get the cinematic guys to make a rad teaser.
Yeah.
And then they can say whatever they want and then just work on it for 5 years.
I feel like by now we would have had some sort of leak, you know?
Yeah.
It would have purchased some name and had the trademarks to it, something like that, but there's like nothing.
All we've had is rumors of, well, like job openings and listings and stuff. That's about it. Like they've been doing that for a couple of years, and some of that was console, and we already know what that ended up doing, so they made a console version of D3. So yeah,
none of it seems like a new game.
Yeah. I'm nervous. Hearthstone, something happened. Murloc Shaman, recruit a friend reward. That sounds all right. Get those Murlocs going. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Dills, what's your take on the Murlocs?
Well, the the hero itself is awesome.
Yeah.
But again, it's a recruit a friend thing, which I'm not a huge fan of. And at least he didn't have to do five friends this time, like freaking heroes.
Yeah. That was the worst.
You can do five or whatever. Like the first one gets you the hero, and then everyone after that gets you a free pack.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, so you make one Smurf account and you're done.
Yeah.
So much simpler than the heroes one.
You don't have to make five
Smurf
accounts.
Some real people out there will actually recruit friends, but it's like they add this stuff after the game's been out for 3 years or whatever. And If I was going to recruit him, I already did.
Yeah. So, your friends have been recruited, man.
Yeah. Like I've you know, man, if only I had a podcast, I could talk about this and recruit.
I know, right? Only if there were like a bunch of dedicated, I don't know, people who like chickens that are angry that could just fall into line and help you out.
I did. A very nice listener did go out and get the hero for me. So I appreciate that. There's a link you get and then you can share it. So,
nice.
You know, I mean, it's going to do what it's meant to do for Blizzard, which I think is just kind of maybe growth numbers sag a little bit after a certain amount of time. And this is just a way to kind of boost them.
Yeah.
So I get it.
My listeners are how I got, you know, the vulture and,
Vulture and heroes.
Yeah. I wasn't going to do all that on my own.
Do the smurfing. Yeah. I still haven't done any of that. I didn't even care. As soon as I saw it was five, I was like, nope.
Yeah. It's a lot.
Fair enough. This is me actively protesting the fact that it's five.
Five's a lot.
I'm just not going to get it.
That's
I'm
half. Not going to have think of it. It's half of 10. It. That's almost 10. That's not just like half of 10. They just then what? Were you gonna ask me to do 20? Forget
you do it.
Do
it again, and you're at 10. Exactly. That's crazy.
That's a lot of Smurf accounts. All right. Finally, Overwatch. Man, actually, some big stuff. So ranked play's been in for a while. It's been a little tricky. Some stuff's coming up with a patch that does all sorts of things, like limit how long overtime is, and D.Va's getting a huge upgrade, which I'm super stoked about. But more importantly than all of that, which you can listen to Patrick and Garrett talk about on Overwatchers. Instead, let's talk about Ana for a minute. And it is pronounced Ana, I confirmed. I was worried about that. So I asked somebody over the weekend who
there's only
know.
One N. So I always think of the one N as Ana and the two N's as Anna.
Yeah, see, I would have... To me, it seemed obvious, but you know how it gets on shows. People want to correct you for the next week. Anyway, she's... I checked her out on the PTR. She's awesome. She's super cool. And... I'm not sure it's my style yet of play necessarily, but I always say that and end up loving characters I say that about, so I'm sure with some more time I'll really like her. But she's a ranged healer, support character.
Yeah.
And she shoots darts to heal Patrick, and if you're on the other team deal, she shoots that same dart at you and hurts you with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
She's a really interesting character. She's a healing sniper, basically. So she really has to she's super hard to play. Her healing slash damaging is not, I mean, she's not going to be doing a lot of DPS. She also has basically zero mobility. It's super hard to escape as Ana, but she is, understand that I'm playing World of Warcraft at the same time, so I'm going to stop and focus on what I'm saying. I apologize. Right, so Ana, what was I saying? She has zero mobility, so if you're stuck with someone hunting you, you're going to die.
Well, you can put him to sleep.
True.
Yeah, but that is... So she has... Her abilities are her sniper rifle, which does a little bit of heal over time over 1 second, or damage over time over 1 second, about 75. And then she has her sleep gun, which it's one charge, and then you have to wait for the cooldown to end, which is maybe 6 or 7 seconds. And it has a little bit of a delay when you hit it. So it's possible to do, but it's really hard. If you miss, you're toast. And that's your one chance of escaping anything. And if you hit, the enemy is basically stunned for 6 seconds, I think. But any damage is going to revive them. So you really have to coordinate with it. That's the thing. Everything needs to be coordinated with the team in order to work.
That's my concern with her, is it feels like if you're with a bunch of randos, you're causing a potential problem by either not knowing her very well, or somebody not being great at her, or people causing damage and they didn't mean to. Like, outside of a cohesive team that's already planned all this, or even in those scenarios, you're going to have some pissed people the way that she plays if you're not careful, right? Like, that's what I'm worried about.
Well, she can be played. I mean, it's not impossible. She can stand her own a little bit if you manage to position her well. That's the most important thing. But... The most, actually, her ultimate is really fun. It boosts your target into a agent of mayhem. Basically, they go super fast, they do a lot more damage, and they take less damage. So basically, you Hulk someone out.
It's like what Morales does in Heroes, basically. Same idea, kind of like a stim
pack kind of thing.
Yep. Yeah. Which is cool.
And And the other thing is you also have an ability that completely nullifies any damage that any healing that people get. It's sort of a grenade that makes people not able to heal for a few seconds, maybe five, and amplifies the healing on your allies, which if they're caused,
so I thought it did a it did a moderate amount of damage and healing as well. No, is it just
it does?
Okay,
yeah,
it does. But so basically, I think opinions differ on this. I think this is going to change the game even more than the ultimate, because if you manage to catch someone in that blast, they're done. If but again, it requires a little bit of coordination, but it's super efficient and it's not an ultimate, so it's on a regular cooldown. You can do it, you know, every 8 seconds. And if you're in a team fight, that can swing it, I think, even more than the ultimate.
Yeah.
But so, it feels very she's cool. Zenyatta to me, the Discord orb. Like that, but with a little bit, it's like you combined both the orbs into one, and then you just get one at a time.
Yep.
Whereas Zenyatta, the orb is the whole thing.
Yep.
But yeah, like you hit an opponent with it, and then they will die if they're in a fight. They will pretty much just go straight down.
Yeah,
she's just. Oliver seems very cool, but you are right that there's a lot of coordination.
Yeah.
And on these kind of solo queue ranked games, she might not be the best choice.
Yeah.
Unless you're like have maybe a couple people with you, even if you don't have a full comp, if you even have just one or two people with you, you can coordinate enough, I think, to make her really, really effective.
But if you're not,
she does go down in effectiveness once you've got bunch of people who aren't working together.
Sure, sure. But the worry is that once you've done that and you've chosen her and now you've got at least a little coordination, it still feels like without full coordination, it's 5-on-6. You know, like you've taken someone out of the game. That's the worry. I'm not saying I felt like that playing
if
her.
If you're good enough, you can find situations where she'll be effective still.
Yeah.
But you have to be the one recognizing what your team is doing and then supporting that. Because like she's not gonna run out, like she's not like Widowmaker gonna run off and make a huge difference on her own, right?
Right.
Without any support at all. Because Widowmaker just like headshots a few people. And it's like, hey, there you go, guys.
Yeah.
I just made three people go away.
And her running running gun's not the best thing in the world, but it's all right. Yeah. You know. And you don't
it's
really have
does
that.
Damage. Yeah, but you're not gonna take people out by yourself. That's
right.
Yeah, you would have to be really. I mean, it's going to happen, but it's not going to be a consistent thing that you can count on. There are ways of playing her well if you're, you can stay in the thick of it and she's kind of like Hanzo in the sense that she doesn't have her aim, for example, doesn't change anything to her damage. You have a scope, but you can just use the sniper rifle unscoped, and it works really well. You have a reticle, and it works well if you're in the middle of the game. So you're going to have to know when to go away a little bit and support from a distance, and actually when to stay in the middle. I think she can
be
effective.
She also doesn't headshot, right? She has no headshot or anything? Yeah.
She doesn't.
Everything's just if she hits you, she hits you.
Yeah. Which is super interesting. So, yeah. You know, like it's an interesting. It's
she's
really
interesting, and she brings a new dynamic to the groups. I think.
So, oh, I completely agree, and that's what I'm glad they're being that daring with it. I hope players aren't complete boners with her, but she's got it going on where it counts. Quick email, guys. Look at this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the town crier.
That's right, the Town Crier, where we take your phone calls and emails. Today it's just an email, but if you'd like to send in a phone call, you can. 801-471-0462 is our voicemail. You can leave emails at theinstance@gmail.com. We got one from Kudrand. I don't know how you say this person's name. Weird name. What do you guys make of all of these veteran people at Blizzard leaving in the last 12 months or so? Is it just about needing to move? Whoa. No,
sorry, I might have clicked somewhere.
You're totally fine. It just disappeared all of a sudden. Is it about just needing to move on to other things or something more problematic at Blizzard? I think from the outside, it is very easy and simple to look at that and say, oh, Jay Wilson and Josh and Mickey Nelson and all these people leaving who've been like, some of them 20-year veterans of the company somehow seems nefarious or something's going wrong or they're imploding from the inside. And I think that your first assumption is the more correct one. I know in Mickey Nielsen's case, he's got a new novel coming out in August. He's focusing all his time on his writing. He was with Blizzard for 20 years. He just wanted to do something else. I think that's a fine thing for people to want to do. Even at one of the greatest legendary game developers of all time, 20 years is a long ass time. And so why not?
Yeah.
You know,
there's also the thing where once a company is really successful and clearly has a lot of good people working there and a good culture, those people become very sought after.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Other companies are willing to pay quite a bit of money to get them to go do something.
The reason Greg went to Riot wasn't because, not necessarily just because he needed a change of pace. I mean, some those things may factor in, but
yeah,
it was mostly about, we don't really know, but probably what happened is Riot
gave a great opportunity. You can't blame people for taking opportunities when they happen, you know, because in your life, you don't know how many of those you get. Yep. And a good one is a good one, you know? Not only do you get, you know, a really nice offer, but you get a chance to kind of start your own thing, do something that kind of you have a little bit more maybe say in, or you can put your stamp on even more than the things you were already working on, you know? So it's like, yeah. It's hard for everyone who doesn't have that kind of stuff to understand, because they're just like, no, stay forever, the thing that I like.
Yeah.
But they can go make something else amazing that you like. So
yep.
I don't know. I always think it's great. It's great for them. You work really hard and then you get rewarded, and that's fantastic. So
yeah, I remember being sad when Corey Stockton left the Reaver series. No, what was it called? Soul Reaver series. Thinking, man, that'll never be the same. He was great over there. Look at all he did. And now he's at Blizzard doing really great things. It kind of works both ways. Like people join Blizzard from those situations and people leave Blizzard for those situations. So it's just a company. It's a business. You do what you do.
But yeah, look at me. When I left Blizzard, it was clearly for all the wrong reasons. It was terrible. The podcasting world called, and they were like, dude, we need to give you a lot of money. And then, you know.
Yeah. And then, but that's the whole point. You just kind of surmised it. It's not like Patrick left Blizzard. What does that say about the PR department? It doesn't say anything. It says that Patrick.
Well, no. Okay. Let's clarify. I was no one in Blizzard. Those people we're talking about are actual, they contributed heavily to the success of the games. So it's completely, you know, it's a very different situation. But no, I think, you know, you're right. It's just sometimes people want to do something else. Sometimes people get offered a lot of money. Sometimes maybe they weren't getting along with their teams or with the management. Maybe there was some decision that they didn't agree with. We don't know. And also Blizzard has become a really big company. You know, there are a lot of people. I'm sure that there were people leaving beforehand, but it was just less because there were people, less people. Maybe we didn't pay attention as much. I mean, Rob Pardo left, what was it? A year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years ago. It was a while. And he was like a super big deal at the company. He was a huge part of the success of World of Warcraft, and
he was literally an executive of the company. He was there when him and Morheim and can't think of his other name, other guy, bald head. Anyway, that guy, Chris,
Frank Pierce.
Yeah, Frank Pierce. These were like the top brass, and he left. And I remember even then though, people were rumbling like, oh, why would a guy like that leave the company? And you know,
it was weird, but
yeah,
it's just, you know, it happens.
It's business.
It happens. I don't think we're seeing it to a level that is, ooh, that smells bad for. And you know, had people said that, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, you might have wondered, you know, where is Blizzard going? What's happening?
Sure.
I think now, it's really hard to argue that things aren't going great at Blizzard.
Yeah.
They have more games than they've ever had. A lot of successes that are interplanetary successes.
Yeah.
I think it's, but it's now fine. It's fine.
And they are fine. You've got guys who started when they were like 20 and they're now 40 and they're thinking, you know, I could do some other stuff. Like it doesn't have to be just this. It's possible that there's more to life. Like you have to look at it from those individual perspectives. And
it's
once you do that,
it's actually a positive thing too, because you've got guys who are now 20, and if the guys who are 40 never go anywhere else, and the guys who are 20 are like still doing whatever the hell they were doing when they were 20, because there's nowhere to move.
Yeah, let's get some fresh talent in there. Sure.
This is this has been happening in, you know, like when I got out of college and I was going into radio, I was like, yeah, radio, and then I realized like No one ever leaves the radio. Like, once they get, like, on the air, that guy will be there until he's 70 years old.
Yeah, you go to radio to die.
It's hard as hell. Yeah. To get. I mean, yeah, you'll be doing the news and the traffic until you're, like, in your mid-40s.
Yep.
And then finally the slot will open up for you
in
Topeka.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, sweet, I get to do the 6 to 9 shift in Topeka. I'm 45.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if there's no turnover. Yeah. It's actually really negative, I think.
It is. Blizzard's probably a good example.
Bills, what do you have against Topeka?
Oh, I love Topeka.
Why do you hate Topeka? Do you think that Topekans are idiots? Go. Is that what you're
are
saying?
Are they called not Topekans? Okay. They're not called Topekans, are they? Hope not.
I have no idea. I don't even know where Topeka is.
I can't.
It's in Kansas. the Great Dust Bowl. All right. Well, there's your email. Big thanks for sending that one in there, Kira Jrand, however you say your name. Theinstance@gmail.com is where that came from. Let's get out of here. Before we do, why don't we whip around the table and talk about what people have going on so that people can even hear more from our fine co-host. Patrick, what are you doing?
Oh, now?
Hey, what
I'm
are you
not
doing
playing
over there?
World of Warcraft.
What are you doing, Patrick?
What are you talking about?
I'm
not at 96 treasures out of 100 for the achievement. That's not what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So I do podcasts. Yeah. I do Overwatchers, as you mentioned, Scott, if you want to hear more about the incredible changes, because we only talked about Anna, but there's stuff for Zenyatta, D.Va, Mercy, a bunch of stuff. Super exciting. Go listen to Overwatchers.
Oh, real quick. The thing we didn't say that you guys will probably talk about at length, so we'll only just mention it here. They're going to patch this so that in competitive mode, there can only be one of a character on the map at a time on your team. So you can't be two Widowmakers.
No more stacking.
Yeah, you don't stay. No more stacking. You don't stay that for the whole time, like MOBA style. But you can still switch, but you can't stack in the game, which is really interesting to me. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, it was a big decision. Obviously, it's something they've agonized over for a long time, and apparently maybe they'll change it again at some point in the future, but now they've decided that for now it works better in competitive with one hero. It's not the case in quick play, though.
You can still do your 6 Winston comps in quick play. But
If you want to hear that and more, go listen to Overwatchers. If you want to hear about the Brexit and, you know, international news, we just had an episode where we had the opinion of a lever from that whole debacle. And we did an episode with mostly stay opinions and one just now with someone from the leave camp. So we have both things to look at. If you want to understand what this whole thing is about, we had a lot of fun doing it. So go listen to the Phileas Club. That's on Frenchspin.com.
Frenchspin.com. All right, Dills, what's going on?
Let's see. I'm going to be out of town this weekend in Dallas for an MGA tournament. So never a time better than now to pump the MGA.
Yeah.
We're actually closing out this season. This was like our 10th year doing it. So if you're into golf, and I was going through some of the chapter leader emails the other day because we were doing some site maintenance, and I think at least 3 or 4 people mentioned either the Instance or the Angry Chicken is how they found out about the Mediocre Golf Association. So I realized I haven't been talking about it in a while. So you guys should check that out.
Yeah.
It's a non-gaming related thing, but it's super fun.
Yeah.
And if you like golf.
It's the great game. It's the great game of golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Golf so MJTour.com is how you find out about that. You'll probably see a video on my YouTube channel when I get back detailing my trip here to Dallas. It's going to be a bunch of people from a bunch of other chapters all come in there to meet up. And then I guess we're doing a big party after the thing and I'm staying at some guy's house. So should be a fun little video coming after that. But check that out.
I like the stay at some guy's house part. Also,
some random guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I like how you just skimmed house. Right over that.
Here for golf.
I also like, I like that that you're promoting an outdoor recreational activity that involves a ball that will not have a Pokemon in it. So
can I catch anything? But you know what? I am curious to see how many Pokemon I will get on the golf course.
Nice. I believe
I guarantee
you,
I will find at least a few.
I believe in you. All right. Well, it's been good to be here. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll be back next week again with big Legion coverage. We'll be in the basking glow of the pre-patch and on to the expansion, which comes very shortly. Yeah. So come back and listen to us talk about that. We are at theinstance.net. You can find us on Twitter @InstanceShow, @ScottJohnson, @WillieDills, @_T, and @NotPatrick. You can also find fine shows like this at frogpants.com. Com. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for Patrick. We'll see you next time.
Peace.
Peace, peace out. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
I lee 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 like lee lee.